Shalom, Haverim. That's Hebrew for peace to you, our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on WHKW 1220 Christian Radio. I'm John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, the Reverend Sheila Crawford. We pray you will be challenged by the next hour of Bible study to become a mature Christian believer in Yeshua, equipped to do any good work and be ready to give an intelligent answer to those who ask about the hope within you. And that is our subject tonight, our blessed hope, the rapture, and the many scripture verses in both testaments that proclaim this soon-to-come event. And just let me give you a little heads up. You will need a piece of paper and a pen, unless you're driving, okay? Let's have a moment of prayer before we begin. Father, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we thank you for the opportunity to broadcast the truth of your awesome word again for our listeners and supporters and their families. May you extend the wings of your protection over all of us, and especially those abroad in military service, particularly the children of our listeners, like Elijah Buckles, whose father is our webpage engineer, and he's serving in Afghanistan fighting a tough, dangerous war. Remember, Father, those who have written to us or phoned or emailed us with requests for healing and salvation for their loved ones. Meet all their needs in your mercy. And thank you, as always, for your spirit that you have given us to guide us to the truth. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And shalom mishpachah.
Which
means peace to my family. And if you are a child of God, then you are the family of God as well.
Amen to that, too.
Last time, we began a teaching series on the topic of Jesus calling up his bride, well known as the rapture. Now, Paul describes this event and tells us to be comforted because of it. Why comforted, John?
Why comforted? Because we won't be here for the most devastating time the earth has ever had to go through or ever will again. Hey, like the flood. Not since, besides the flood. This is worse than the flood.
It
this
is. It's called more suffering, I think.
This is the wrath of God's indignation.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's a sad time to think of all those souls that just refuse to make Jesus Lord over their life and would rather take a chance of going through something like that.
I know. That isn't what's going on right now, folks. The wrath of God, God's indignation is something totally different what's going on now. It's
right.
We're seeing shocks. Yeah, we're seeing some a little hint at it, but it's going to be terrible.
It's coming, there's no doubt.
And you can escape it.
That's right. And God told Jesus even told us the signs and said that they would be speeding up just before he would come back. And we're seeing that today. We saw another earthquake in an unusual area, many aftershocks. But today, we're going to do something a little different. We will actually bypass the news part and continue the teaching we began last week on the rapture, because there is so much information on this subject. So just let's get into it, and I encourage you to listen to last week's program titled Rapture Part 1 on our webpage and use any, actually, of the archived programs as your personal Bible study. All you have to do is fast forward past the news on any of the programs to listen to a wealth of information, and each program is titled, and it's free.
Great, and if after listening you are blessed, please consider any donation, which will help to keep us going here. These are actually very, what we'd call, meaty teachings, to say the least. And these are on the air for your growth as a mature Christian believer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, now last time we called your attention to the fact that there is no passages in either the Old Testament or the New Testament that say the church will go through the time called Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And it is never called the time of the church's trouble.
No. It isn't. We're going to talk a lot about the beginning part, at least, of the book of Revelation tonight. Because, really, everybody says to me, oh, the book of Revelation, it's so hard. And I don't think so, especially because it really is in chronological order. It does have an occasional, what we call parenthetical verses. And these are verses of, like, anticipation of how it will be later. In other words, this experience had to be very overwhelming for John the Revelator. And God, on occasion, will show him, hey, don't worry, it's going to get better. And you'll see some verses describing either the millennial kingdom or something later on.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of chapter 12, that's a huge parenthetical chapter, and it's a complete summary going all the way back to the book of Genesis. To Revelation.
To Revelation, yeah.
So if you keep this in mind, folks, the book of Revelation, it's really pretty simple.
Actually, it is much easier than the major prophets of the Old Testament, like Isaiah.
Oh, it is. And, of course, the reason for that being is that there's so many of those wars, the Assyrians and the Egyptians. And
in
all
Isaiah.
These. Yeah, and you have to know history to kind of be able to not confuse it with what's going to happen with what's already happened.
Oh, good point.
So I love the book of Revelation. I highly recommend it. It's the first book that I really took apart and studied thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why I teach it so much these days. But let's just talk again about the... Did I miss my place here?
No, you didn't. You said, you're right. You're right on the money here. You're right.
I thought I missed it. Okay.
We're on track.
In Revelation, mm-hmm. John begins his writings describing the vision that he has of Jesus Christ standing in the middle of seven lampstands in verse 12. And we have the beauty of Jesus telling John in verse 20 that the lampstands represent the church, to which he will, in the very next two chapters, describe the church age and break it down prophetically, church by church, chronologically, to represent the entire church age, beginning with the birthing church of Ephesus all the way to the last sleeping church of Laodicea.
Is that our church? No.
It's definitely
here today?
But I'm not a member.
Okay, I'm not either.
Okay.
I wasn't snoring, I promise you. You know.
So in chapter 1, John the Revelator has his vision of Jesus Christ. And in chapters 2 and 3, it's all about the church age and is actually renamed to the churches more than 20 times in the first three chapters of Revelation.
Mm.
So it's interesting that in chapter 4... he begins with, in that first verse of chapter 4, saying, after this. And then he goes on to describe what happens after this. After this is metatata in the Greek, and it means after what he just talked about.
Oh.
Which is the church age.
Hmm. It's more than just a little segue into what's coming. It actually means...
after the church age.
After the church age. Oh.
And we see that mm-hmm. John is called up to heaven, and he is not only a type of the church, but mm-hmm. because Jesus makes John see that now the seven lamps are up there as well with him in verse 5 of chapter 4. And then after that, we never see the church mentioned again until we return as his wife in Revelation 19:7. And in fact, when Jesus is closing each letter to the seven churches, he actually says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We never see that again. And in fact, in Revelation 13, after John's describing the beast, John pleads to his people, if any man have an ear, let him hear. So he's saying it again, but this time he did not mention to the churches, as was said so many times, at least seven in verses 2 and 3. He doesn't mention to the churches.
He doesn't mention that. And you're saying, too, also that the lampstands that John sees in heaven is a pretty good picture that that's where the churches are, or that's where the church is.
Right, because Jesus told them it represents the church.
And then the next time, the next thing you see is that here, oh, John, you're in heaven.
Along with John, who represents the church also.
Wow, now that's cool. Now that really is cool. Now that's pretty plain.
But we're definitely not here at the end of chapter 3. Chapter 4, I believe we get called up. Yeah. I believe that is the rapture scriptures.
Yeah.
And...
because that phrase, you know, when he says, let anyone who has an and ear, hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To the churches is missing.
Yeah, it's not there. Not in chapter 13.
Wow. Now, this is just a fraction of the many proofs that we will be covering over the next programs coming up. You know, we're going to really explore this because this is important.
That's right. And in the book of Revelation, so I believe the rapture occurs at Revelation 4:1. And then we'll, if you continue to read, you'll see in chapter 5, Jesus Christ is now crowned as king, is given his duties on a scroll that all kings are given when they're crowned king. They're given their duties.
Oh.
There's a word for that.
Duties?
I can't remember it right now.
duties.
I think it's called a deuce. But
okay.
I'm not going to go there. But I already did, so I'll stop.
Okay.
let's rewind that. But anyway, he's given his duties on a scroll that he will begin to unseal, and we see that in chapter 6. So I stress that, again, it's not just a few scriptures that we're going to be bringing to your attention, but many pondering points to consider. So if you don't like something that I say for whatever reason, just throw it away or set it aside, because I got a lot more.
Well, not like the other viewpoints who only have a few viewpoints, and the scriptures are misinterpreted a lot, taken out of context many times. In many cases, these are just opinions.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
And that is sad.
But we have facts. Now, let me just bring this point up too.
Mm-hmm.
I know the church has suffered with many martyrs. But the outcome of that is for the glory of God. That might sound harsh, but it is stated by Jesus when he told Peter at the end of his life he would end up dying a martyr, but it would be for the glory of God.
And that can be found in John, 21st chapter and verse 19.
Yes, it's right there. And let's face it, it is for the glory of God. If you can stand up and say, I will not deny him, mm-hmm. and be willing to die for him, that's to God's glory. But it has nothing to do with the wrath of God, which is a detailed, specific time talked about in Zephaniah 1:15-18. You get a good description of that in the Old Testament. But it's different than being martyred, and is on the whole world for the sin of unbelief.
You can find that in John chapter 16 and verses 8-9, and also John chapter 3, verse 35. So
that's right. Now,
did you get this, that? Write it down.
That's right. Write it down, people. That's why you have a pencil and paper. And if not, then if you're driving your car, listen to it later on the archived shows.
Very good.
But anyway, this judgment is a very specific span of time talked more about in his word than anything else, this upcoming judgment.
Sheila, I've heard some people say that this wrath of God is a term for the final judgment for unbelievers in hell. What say you?
Well, I say that sure, that I could understand, and that would be somewhat plausible, especially to someone that doesn't really study the word. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been studying end-time prophecy for an awfully long time.
I'm a witness to that. I can vouch for you.
Yeah, but here's the facts. Jesus himself, more than once, called the tribulation in the book of Revelation the wrath of God. With the opening of the very first seal judgments of Revelation 6, remember we said, we're called up to heaven in the fourth chapter. He receives the scroll in the fifth chapter. And in the sixth chapter, he's unsealing the seals, called the seal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? And at the end of the bowl judgments in Revelation 15, and those are the worst judgments, it says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete.
And that can't just be referring to hell.
No, how could it be? Because hell is not complete.
It will be
there forever.
Oh. Interesting.
Very important things that we're bringing up here, people.
Yeah. How do we miss stuff like this, Sheila? I didn't see these things in the Bible.
Well, it's, again, just paying attention, reading context. read the whole Bible, not just the, you know, few scriptures that someone gives you to make a point.
Uh-huh.
Know what his whole plan is, and then it just comes. And then he has given me the gift of it, I guess, because he does give the gift of teachings to some. But it's all there. There's the wrath of God, and it's the mm-hmm. tribulation period. Now, again, I want to remind you that, as I know, he does chasten his people. And it's to bring his children back to a close relationship. But once again, the wrath is a specific future event not meant for the righteous bride. And give you a couple more scriptures.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God has not appointed us, meaning the church, to wrath. And in Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Revelation in chapter 11, 18 says, the nations were angry and your wrath has come.
Now, that wrath is number 3709 in your Strong's. It's orge, and it means a specific punishment time in. It's wrath of God.
And every time I read these scriptures, that word wrath was that same word in all the scriptures
and
I just mentioned.
All the ones that you just read, it's all the same word.
Okay, so we are talking about
in Revelation to Revelation as well as Thessalonians.
Wow. Okay, that is something. Now we mentioned last week that Sheila would teach in context 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and. Let's see, do you want to take a little break and then we can come back?
Yeah, I don't
that.
Want to stop in the middle of that, so why don't we take our break now?
Okay. Let's see, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all your donations are tax deductible and extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well if you have one. Now, be sure to check out the webpage, and all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift for the gift season. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song. And a great segue into our continued teaching of the rapture, a song entitled, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Stay with us now.
On November 9th at approximately 2 p.m. Eastern, your state or territory will participate in a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. It will be heard on radio and seen on local cable and satellite TV. As the federal, state, tribal, territorial, and local governments prepare for and test their capabilities, this event serves as a reminder that everyone should establish an emergency preparedness kit and emergency plan for themselves, their families, communities, and businesses. Visit FEMA.gov for more information.
The holiday season is upon us once again. Already the stores have begun displaying holiday decorations, and soon the commercials will begin advertising this year's must-have gifts. However, the holiday season is more than running from store to store seeking the perfect gift for that special someone or planning the annual holiday party. It's also about faith, charity, hope, and love. What better way to understand the true meaning of the season than visiting the place where it all began, Israel? Imagine standing at the Western Wall in Jerusalem and looking up at the ancient stones, the last remnant of the Jewish temple, or walk down the Via Dolorosa, the same road Jesus walked from the place of Pontius Pilate's sentencing to Golgotha, or learn about the rich history and culture by visiting the world-famous Israel Museum, with collections that rival the Metropolitan in New York. If you've ever considered going to Israel, start by going to my website, BillBennett.com, and click on the Experience Israel banner to receive a free Israel DVD. Experience Israel. You'll never be the same. That's BillBennett.com.
You're a pastor, and you're always looking for new things to make Sunday worship meaningful and inspirational. Well, pastors all across the country each week turn to WorshipHouseMedia.com. They love the extensive library of church media and sermon video illustrations. Plus, Worship House Media has worship songs and backgrounds. You should try it too. With a variety of topics, you're sure to find a video that fits your sermon. Go to WorshipHouseFree.com to download a free video to help you make this Sunday's worship more exciting. Go to WorshipHouseFree.com.
Life was filled guns and war. And all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread. Goodbye.
Great song. I wish, you know, Sheila's singing along with this, and she's singing, I wish they'd all been ready, because she's ready.
I'm ready.
She says, I'm ready. Well, welcome back.
And you can be ready, too.
That's right. You can be ready. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was cool. That was done by DC Talk, and it was originally written and performed by Larry Norman. And if you remember who he is, you're just as old as we are. And again, we have opened the phone lines. I apologize for not telling you that sooner, but the numbers for your end time question is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Okay? A reminder, our next show for our ministries hour will be next Sunday.
No, not next Sunday.
It's not next
Sorry.
Sunday. Okay. Okay, I didn't get that memo. When is it going to be?
November 20th.
November 20th, okay. And that's, again, at 6 p.m. So that's not next Sunday. It's a little farther ahead there. But November 20th, 6 p.m., be there. If you want to be on the mailing list, just send your request for that to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can just snail mail us if you don't have the Internet, and send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If possible, please tuck in a little love offering and help us stay on the air.
Yes, and please, if you feel like maybe you can help sponsor this show, please give me a call. We could use some people that are willing to give a little for that.
Be brave. Helps your business, and you can spread the gospel.
And a lot more teachings would be on the air more often.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I thought I hope that during the break you got your paper and pencil out if you hadn't before, and your Bible.
And by the way, if you're just joining us, we are talking about the many scriptures that tell us about the event called, that we call the rapture, but the many scriptures in both testaments.
Yeah, so we probably won't get to the Old Testament until next time, but we'll be doing this for a little while.
Okay, so.
We don't want to rush through a lot of information. By the time we get all done with this series, if someone still thinks we're going through the tribulation, please sit down with me. Call me. We will get together. If someone that you know but still believes after you've given them all this information, let's get together. I'm willing, open. I, you know, live in Cleveland or around there. Mm-hmm. I can come anywhere almost.
It's a good thing to get this straightened out. Why? Why? Why?
Well, because it's your blessed hope, and otherwise you're stockpiling and getting so nervous that you're not, you know, that you're going to suffer, and it's just awful time. You just don't want to think that.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. It's stinking thinking.
Yeah. Well, what about people today that say, and I don't want to hold us up too much, but they say, well, what we're going through right now is the tribulation, or they're saying, oh, this is the wrath of God.
Are you kidding?
And, well, you think about that big tsunami. You think about there's earthquakes. You know, we had a big earthquake.
Oh, yeah. Sure, you're right there. They would think that probably, but it's not the whole world.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
That's going to be happening to the whole world. That's what will be the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it's going to be worse than what we've seen?
Oh, yeah.
Way worse.
Way worse.
Okay.
Absolutely way worse.
Like Noah's flood worse?
I think so, because of the devastation and the suffering will be longer. It won't just be a drowning, you know. It'll be, you know, famines and you know, nuclear blasts that are not very good.
Okay. Well, so we're definitely seeing some previews of that, I think.
Yeah. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't wait another moment. Get down on your knees, repent for your sins, individual sins, and get right with God.
Yeah. He's willing and waiting to get right with you. He wants you.
Right. He doesn't want anyone to perish.
That's right. The soul takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Don't die without, don't leave this earth without Jesus.
That's right. You're only
a heartbeat away
from death.
That's right.
Okay. Second chapter of Thessalonians, the second letter to Thessalonians. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here because I'm so excited about this. This is an important chapter that is actually often misinterpreted. So, let's take it from the beginning.
All right.
Paul said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to meet him." First and foremost, we have to start off in context. He's telling you what the topic is. And the topic is, John?
The coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ and our gathering together to meet him.
Right. That's
that wasn't
the topic.
Hard. That
okay.
Was, okay.
And it's important because you're going to see why in a minute.
Okay.
Verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now notice he said either by a spirit. That's an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Evil spirits can speak to you and make you think the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're grounded in the true word of God because you know the word, that won't happen.
Good reason to get grounded in the word of God, isn't it?
It's very good reason. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, and that's always talking about still future, beginning with the tribulation period, and actually 1,000 years. We've gone over that other times. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. A lot of information right here in this verse, so here we go. First of all, where it says, unless the falling away comes first. The Greek word is apostasia, and according to the Greek scholar Ken Wiest, he says that that apostasia does mean falling away, but it can mean a departure as well, and from the earth.
It can mean that. And that
it's a departure from something. Okay? And
he's a Greek scholar.
Unfortunately, the interpreters make you think that that departure must be from the faith.
Well, that's what most people think, because it seems to read that way.
Well, that's right, and it's really an incorrect reading, because if you take it in context, and that is the whole point of this chapter.
Are you going to ask me again what the context was?
Go ahead.
Concerning the return or the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ and our gathering together to meet him.
Okay, it's talking about the rapture.
Yeah, just thought we'd go.
Okay, so he says, don't let anyone deceive you in verse 3 by any means. For that day will not, N-O-T, not, come unless the departure comes first.
Departure.
And then the Son of Man, the Son of, the Man of Sin is revealed, the Son of Perdition. And we're going to have verification of what I just said when we get down to verse 8 also.
Okay, cool.
So it's the departure first. The Greek word is apostasia. It could also mean radical departure. It's number 646, but the Strong's doesn't even get it. You have to go to a Greek scholar to see it.
Kenneth Wiest.
Yes, but however, the amplified version of the Bible, the footnote for this particular scripture, down at the bottom, it says, a possible rendering is the departure of the church. So, I'm not alone here.
Right. you're not.
No. Now, I'm going to take a little quick break before we continue on, because I want to also do some confirmation. By just looking over at Timothy, which is the next book, in chapter 4, he says, and again, this is the context, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. But he's saying the faith. That is the context. Depart from the faith.
Okay.
What's interesting is that word depart is apostemi. So it's even a different word from the faith, and it means to draw back. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to backslide, but the scripture says they will draw back from the word of God, because where do we get our faith?
From the word of God.
That's right.
Reading and understanding.
And isn't that what we're seeing today? People are not really reading the word of God. If they do, it's very little. They're drawing back from, like, say, even 100 years ago, when before we had TV and all that kind of stuff.
Well, can't you just go to the Holy Spirit? Won't he just tell you everything you need to know? Can't you go to a Spirit-filled meeting and God will speak to you there? And isn't that enough?
No, you need the Word. But again, this is the difference here. In Timothy, yes, some will draw back from the faith and they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And I'll tell you right now, and I'll probably get letters on this one, but I think people that actually are out there teaching that we're going through the tribulation is heretical. I'm sorry.
Are you saying it's a doctrine of
heresy?
Or demon?
Awful.
Demonic doctrine?
It's awful, yeah.
It is.
It's not from God. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, and blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. So going back to Thessalonians, though, and I just wanted to show people the difference.
There is a difference.
I believe, back to Thessalonians, he is actually talking about the departure from the earth.
I'm with you on that one.
Okay, I'm glad you are.
And I hope you are, too, if you're listening. And if you're not and you still have some reservations, look up Kenneth Wiest. It's spelled W-U-E-S-T.
And Greek scholar.
Greek scholar, and do some scholarly things for yourself.
Right. What I'm seeing is there has been some others that have been saying it now, finally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not alone, but I've been teaching this for 20 years.
I know. And then look, if you have an Amplified Bible, go look in your Amplified Bible.
Sure.
What it says there.
If that helps.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, he's just talking about the departure coming first. Man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also know in Matthew 24, around chapter 15, that God says this is going to happen. And when the Jewish people see that, the ones that are there need to flee.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, confirmation, and the whole Bible is like a puzzle.
That's right.
And as far as prophecy goes, each piece has to fit, or you have to throw it out. So we have confirmation that this is going to happen, and also, of course, in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and we can go on and on.
Again, okay. Confirmation in both Testaments.
That's right. So. Verse 5. It's kind of funny here. It sounds like he's scolding him a little bit. He says, don't you remember that? When I was still with you, I told you these things. So obviously, and from what I hear from some mentors of mine, is that, you know, there was a letter that came and told these people, no, you're already in the tribulation. And he's saying, how can you be in the tribulation? The departure hasn't happened, and the man of sin hasn't been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling them, you know, don't you remember I told you all this? Yeah, he gets so frustrated sometimes, I'm sure. In verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. This is very plain. Lawlessness is Biblelessness, because it used to be called the law in the Old Testament. But you know what else I've seen lately, John?
Hmm.
Is that besides the Biblelessness, but people are crooked. They're taking bribes in Congress. They're deceitful. They're actually being lawless as well as Biblelessness. Think about it.
So they're being both, in every sense of the word,
mm-hmm.
Lawlessness
mm-hmm.
is...
Greed?
Greed and is...
Wow. So anyway, and it's been here for a while, but we're seeing it get worse now. But he says, he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's us. That's the Holy Spirit in us. That's the light that's in us.
Hmm.
Right now, we are still the light of the world. Hopefully, I mean, I understand that it's getting a little dimmer, but I believe the restrainer is the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the reason that we have to leave is so that the Antichrist can show himself, because right now he's being restrained.
Right.
And part of that is that at the moment of the rapture, there will be complete darkness on the earth. No spiritual righteousness will be here. Everyone that is righteous will be taken.
So for a second, a minute, maybe an hour,
maybe.
There's going to be absolutely no righteousness on this earth.
That's right.
And what? And
not for long, but enough where the enemy has enough to get his power.
That's when he's going to seize that opportunity and take power.
Complete darkness.
And that's going to be you're going to wake up one. And I pray that none of our listeners do. But if you're not saved, you're going to wake up one morning and the whole world's going to be really changed radically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just the thought of no one righteous being here for even a short time is just mind-boggling. But again, this is why we have to leave. There's a purpose in us leaving.
Right, and it's not about us as it is. It's about God's plan.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not about, oh, we get...
It's not what you think or feel or how you think it should be. It has nothing to do with that.
No.
It's what the facts are.
It's what God's plan is that he's laid out to us in his scripture.
In fact, we have, next time, we will probably give the scriptures that talk about how not one righteous person was left and the people will disappear. You know,
we'll get into that. Yep.
But let's continue in verse 8. Okay, so when we're taken out of the way, verse 8 says, and then, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume, eventually, Revelation 19, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So do you see how this is in order and how, again, Paul starts off with giving the context, this is what it's about,
mm-hmm.
explains how the lawlessness is already at work, but he who now restrains will do so until we are taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist or the lawless one will be revealed. And then, and then, and then. Do I know who it is?
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. And I don't need to know.
Yeah. Why?
Because I don't care.
I don't know.
I'll be gone. Now, I'll admit that it's kind of fun to sometimes speculate and try to figure it out. I mean, that's just fun. But I have no idea. And I don't think anyone else does either. But the main thing is that he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think we're going through the tribulation, then you're more into looking to see who this guy is.
So you're looking for, instead of you're looking for Christ, you're looking for the Antichrist.
That's right. there's no other answer. If you think that there's no pre-trib rapture, then your next event is the revealing of the Antichrist. That is unscriptural, unsound, and awful.
Oh. Oh, that'd be in a terrible position to be in, to go, oh, my gosh, this is, and then realize that this is the Antichrist and not, oh, don't be there, people. If you're listening, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus.
Now, I realize we're probably preaching to the choir, mostly Christians.
Yeah, I know, but there's every once in a while.
But get this information that I'm giving you today and teach it to somebody that doesn't know the Lord at all.
Mm-hmm.
And explain what's going to happen. At least maybe there'll be a tribulation saint,
mm-hmm.
which is at least part of the kingdom.
That's right.
All right. But see, this is what an end-time message does. It stirs you up, and it should stir you up. Because we're seeing the signs. They're getting faster, they're coming more, and it's going to happen. Now, verse 9, and the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He can do those things.
Yes, he can.
You know? And if you're going to somewhere where you're seeing signs and lying wonders, make sure that the enemy is not involved there. He could be. Because we're seeing signs of that, too. Everything that's going to happen during the tribulation, John, we're already seeing signs of.
Mm-hmm.
But they're called foreshadows.
Foreshadows.
Braxton Hicks contractions, if you want to go towards the labor idea, which is what Jesus uses also. The labor pains
right.
of a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're sneak previews.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Hmm.
All just because of that. That is the one reason that you'll stay here. If you do not receive the truth.
Well, just the word receive there implies that it was given to them and they refused it.
That's right.
When it says receive, that automatically implies that.
That's right. It's a free gift.
It's a free gift and it's been offered to these folks, whoever they are, and they didn't take it.
And it continues today.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. There are those that because they have been given the gift many times probably and keep refusing it, there comes a time when God turns them over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. We don't know who those people are. It's not for everybody because sometimes you just don't accept them because you really just don't think it's truth.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself in the tribulation and you can still get saved. But I believe there's some that just won't. And can't.
Hmm.
And, of course, they'll believe the lie. What is the lie and who is a liar? Let's, first of all, before you answer that, John, let's look at Scripture to answer this, okay?
Okay.
1 John 2:22, and I'll let you read it.
Now, this is the definition,
I'll read it.
Definition of a liar, because we had someone say that, well, it says all liars won't have no share in the kingdom of heaven. That means I'm going to hell because I lie. But you've got the wrong definition of liar. We're going to see the real definition.
Jesus is the Christ. That's a liar.
There you go.
Okay.
That's God's definition of a liar
so
right
in,
there.
When you read in Scripture where it says all liars will go to hell, it's because they're denying who Christ is and not accepting him as Lord and Savior. That doesn't mean we can go around lying. It's still a sin and we have to ask forgiveness.
That's right.
But I just wanted to be clear on that point.
This could be the ultimate lie.
You know, everybody says, well, what is that lie? This was 25 years ago when I was starting to get into this. And people would say, well, what is the lie? Do you know what the lie is? Do you know what the lie is? And nobody knew what the lie was. But when you really study, you see what the lie is. And that's
denying you said, Jesus. We've talked about this a lot of times, but you say the Bible interprets the Bible.
It does.
And this is a good case of that.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, and they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very sad.
It is.
But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. That means God from the beginning knew that there would be a bride of Christ. So there is the bride of Christ, and it's your choice to be part of that, but the bride of Christ was chosen from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Okay, sanctification means set apart. And again, the bride of Christ has been set up since the beginning for salvation.
For salvation, right?
Yes. Okay. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter, which are now in the word of God, the epistles. But what's interesting, he says, hold the traditions.
Yeah, aren't we sometimes, they say, well, this is just a tradition. We want to do what the Bible says. But they're saying,
well,
hang on to the traditions.
Yeah. That are taught in the Bible.
That are taught in the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. But this is first century. This is in the first century. And I'm telling you, during the Dark Ages, lots of truths got lost. Our Hebraic roots got lost. How they lived as Christians in the first century were lost. They changed things, added things, different rules were made. And I say we need to go back to the first century to learn how they did it.
Well, it seems obvious that in the first century that the church fathers were teaching a radical departure.
They were. Before, we have proof.
Before a tribulation. And here is where this doctrine came from. It didn't come from the 1800s. It came from the first century church.
It did.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That was great, don't you think?
Yes, I think it's it's a pivotal chapter in understanding prophecy, in Hebrew roots, and in leading people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That's
this
right.
is a pivotal chapter.
And again,
in the Bible.
People, when you study the Word of God, make sure you look at the context and what the whole thing is about. Mm-hmm. This was so plain that it was about the rapture, and yet people say that the falling away just means from the faith. And so, if that's the case, where in this chapter did he talk about the gathering together to him? In other words, he said it was going to be about that, and then he never talks about it.
Yeah, so now...
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense, okay. I agree with that. I agree with that.
So, the rapture, then the sun... I keep saying sun.
As someone put it...
Then the man of sin will be revealed.
And that's who we're not looking for. We're looking for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to appear in the air and call us home.
That's right. And you know what else? Well, we already talked about how the mid or post rapture destroys the imminency of Christ calling us up, and we already talked about that fact that we'd be looking for the Antichrist. But I also wanted to say that in Luke 21:34-36, after describing the signs of the end times, okay, in the context here,
okay,
Jesus tells them to pray that they may be able to escape all these things which must come to pass. Now, it's interesting that would he tell us to pray for something that we couldn't escape?
Well, no, that would be silly, wouldn't it?
Right. He wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Okay, and now, what do we mean by pray? Well, by pray, you mean pray the sinner's prayer and invite Jesus into your heart.
Okay.
That's the prayer.
There's the prayer.
That's it. And he says it'll come as a snare to those who are left behind or left on the earth. That word actually means to dwell, and it's kathame, and it means to remain on the earth. So it'll be a snare to those who remain.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we don't get that if you don't look up words, and that's another reason that we need to study. I believe that at least when you're studying prophecy, that every single verse has at least one word that you need to look up, at least one. And the Holy Spirit will kind of like nudge you, you know, as to what word that should be, and go with it. And that's how I found out that the word dwell actually can mean to sit or remain.
Oh, that is good. Good to know that.
That's right. But there are those that are going to escape these things. And we're running out of time, so I'm just going to try to cover one more. If the rapture were to take place at the end of the tribulation, and all the righteous are taken up, and then all the wicked are removed from the earth at that time, no one would be left to repopulate the earth during the millennial kingdom. No one will be here.
Now, that's an interesting point.
And how could we have a sheep and a goat judgment without any sheep? There must be humans who sinned, for Satan to deceive anyone again, according to Revelation 20, at the end of the millennial kingdom. Remember, God lets them loose again?
That's right.
Those that
okay.
are starting to...
Well, where did those people come from if they... Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a... And we'll cover this next time, but
yeah,
in Matthew 24:31, the post-tribulation people use that scripture and say, see, the elect is here at the end of the tribulation, and his angels are going to come and collect them.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a rapture.
That.
But the elect then are the tribulation saints, because we've been taken to heaven.
Not by an... Angels didn't gather us. Who gathers us?
Jesus
Who,
calls us.
Jesus calls us, right.
Two different events.
Two different events here.
One's the rapture, and one is the second coming when he comes back to earth.
And that's why we're here, so you can know these things.
Yes.
You can pass them along.
That's right. And then the sheep and goat judgment, of course, is after Matthew 24:31. So... The righteous are still here.
Oh.
And you can't say that then it's just a U-turn and we're raptured at the end of the tribulation and then brought back down, because we'll still have all new bodies. So how do we repopulate with everybody having a resurrected bodies? It's just not possible.
It's not going to work. And we'll get into that in a little more detail, I think, on the next... In 2 weeks from now on...
we're going to have to close.
I don't hear any music. Does that mean
no? We have another minute for music. Don't worry about it.
Oh,
just start closing.
Okay. Well,
this takes 2 minutes.
I don't want to leave. I want to stay here all night and pursue this, because this is very interesting. Now, you don't want to be left behind, okay? And if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, it's time to do that. And just if you have the head knowledge and you don't really know him, or you think because your parents are saved, you're going to be saved too. Think again. Get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those individual sins which seem to be lingering in your life. Then commit or recommit, whatever the case may be, your whole soul, body, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But always remember, your choice is to choose him. And that makes it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul will go. And after you die, where your soul will spend eternity. It has to go somewhere. There's only two places. Which place do you want it to be? You want to be with God or the other place? Do you have a question for Sheila? Or if you would like to have her speak at your church or church group, you may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And another reminder, too, we'll be back here on November 20th at the same time, 6 p.m. And another reminder, any and all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
Okay, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until November 20th, we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Please join us for the continuing of the rapture.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. The preceding program is sponsored by